Last weekend, I was speaking about generosity, and of course, we have an example of generosity in today's first reading when Abram gives to Melchizedek, the king of Salem, 1/10 of all of his possessions. That's an example. But you know, after last weekend, after the 11 o'clock Mass, somebody came up to me and said that he owned a paving company and he was willing to donate some of his labor to pave some of our... That's why we have that little section in the front paved. He did that just this week. He gave that to us. So thanks be to God for that. But it's just an example of just how many gifts and how many talents we have among the people of the parish here. But today, as we celebrate Corpus Christi, I want to just say a brief word about the origins of the feast, because it goes back to the year 1264, and it reflects an event that happened in 1263. There was a priest by the name of Peter of Prague who was on his way to Rome. I'm not sure if he was on his way there or on his way back. But he was celebrating Mass in the Church of St. Christina in Bolsena. And while he was celebrating Mass, as he elevated the host of the consecration, blood started to come forth from the host, covering his hands and dripping onto the corporal. Word got to the Pope, who was staying at a nearby place, Orvieto. So sometimes it's known as the miracle of Bolsena, sometimes it's the miracle of Orvieto, because the two places are connected with this miracle. It happened in Bolsena, but the Pope was staying in Orvieto, and once the miracle was verified, the evidence of the miracle, the corporal with the blood stains and that, were taken in solemn procession up to the church in Orvieto, where they remain even to this day. I was actually in Orvieto a number of years ago, about 6 years ago, and I saw the relics that are present there. But then the Pope enlisted the services of St. Thomas Aquinas to write an office for the Feast of the Holy Eucharist, which he was intending to inaugurate that following year. And so this is where we get some of the great Eucharistic hymns like the Pange Lingua, Panis Angelicus, Tantum Ergo. All of those were written by St. Thomas Aquinas. But when we reflect on what the readings are saying to us today, you know, I sometimes have to ask myself, am I a glass half full person or am I a glass half empty person? Because sometimes I can be a glass half empty person where I think about all the people who aren't here. How many people are not here in the church? Because according to statistics, probably around only 10 to 15% of Catholics actually go to church. So it's a very, very low percentage of Catholics who actually come to church to honor our Lord in the Eucharist. But in some ways, I should be a glass half full person, because I should be really grateful for all of you who are here. There are so many forces in the world that try to pull people away from faith, try to pull people away from belief in the mysteries that we celebrate. We tend to be very materialistic, and so we only will believe in things that we can see and we can touch. So the fact that there are so many of you who believe in these mysteries, it's a very heartwarming reality. Like I say, I can sometimes focus on what we don't have instead of focusing on what we do have. But that's one of the reasons that we need to be more of a missionary church, because there are so many people for whom the Eucharist doesn't have the meaning that it should have in their life, and to be able to help people to see that. Now, when we look at the teaching of our Lord, we see very clearly that Jesus puts a very high emphasis on the importance of the Eucharist. He connects the Eucharist with eternal life. He says, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Think about that. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. In these words, Jesus is emphasizing how important the Eucharist is for anybody who wants eternal life, for anybody who wants the gifts that God is offering to us. So it should be something that's very central to us, and of course for Catholics, the Eucharist is a central reality to our faith. But St. Paul, in 1 Corinthians, warns us about how we should come to the Eucharist. Because receiving the Eucharist is not just an automatic reality in terms of the benefits that it gives to us. We have to be a little bit cautious in terms of how we approach Jesus in the Eucharist. Of course, today in the reading from 1 Corinthians, we have the institution narrative. St. Paul says, I receive from the Lord what I now pass on to you. And he goes through what Jesus did at the Last Supper. He took bread, broke it, said, this is my body. Took the chalice, this is the cup of my blood. But if we go a little bit beyond this particular passage, this is where St. Paul gives the warning. And he gives two things, two aspects to this warning of how we are to come to the Lord. The first one is where he says, anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body and the blood of the Lord is eating and drinking their own condemnation. So Jesus says we have to eat in order to have life, but St. Paul says, whoa, watch it. You know, if you do this without recognizing the body and the blood of the Lord, you're doing it to your own detriment. Now, what does he mean by not recognizing the body and the blood of the Lord? He means somebody who receives without having faith. We come and receive, but we receive, you know, it's just a symbol. Or it's just something that, you know, I'm a Catholic, I just go up for communion and things like that. But I don't recognize that this is Jesus. He says that person is eating and drinking their own condemnation. It's better for a person not to receive until they've come to believe. Well, how do we do that? There's a story about this fellow who is very knowledgeable about the Catholic faith. Knew his theology, he knew a lot of theology. But he never became Catholic. And somebody asked him one time, they said, why haven't you become a Catholic? And he says, God hasn't given me the faith. And this person responded by saying, have you asked him? Have you asked him for the faith? There are things we can do in order to cultivate faith in our life, including coming before the Lord in adoration, spending time with Jesus, taking part in the Eucharistic procession like we're going to be doing today. After Mass, we're going to go in procession with the Eucharist to St. Peter the Apostle's school. But those outward signs of faith can transform us interiorly so that we can come to a deeper faith in Jesus. By the way, we're going to have the procession, and after the procession, for everybody who takes part, we have a little bit of food and refreshments going to be served here in the church after when people return to the church. So if you're coming on the procession, please come back to the church to share in some of the refreshments that are being provided. The second thing that St. Paul warns about, he talks about those who eat and drink in an unworthy manner. Those who eat and drink in an unworthy manner, he says that they are guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. That's a Hebraic way of saying that the person is guilty of murder. They're guilty of murder. That's a very strong accusation. But he speaks about those. Now, what does he mean by eating and drinking in an unworthy manner? He means the person who receives, but they've got serious sin on their soul. That they need to resolve that first. Because it's never with the church, it's never an absolute no. We want everybody to receive the Eucharist. We want everybody to receive this benefit. But we have to recognize that it will only benefit us if we come with the proper dispositions. So with the church, it's never an absolute no, it's not now. You're not ready right now. But the ball is in your park. You can get ready. If you lack the faith, ask God for the faith. Do the things that will cultivate faith. If it's something where you've got serious sin, go to confession. Get that resolved. And then you can come and partake. The ball is always in our court. We can always do something. If there's something preventing us, there's always something we can do to get ourselves ready. But then St. Paul says something really amazing. After talking about the things that can prevent us from receiving the Eucharist with benefit, well. He says, it's for this reason that many of you are sick and some of you have died. Wow. Many of you are sick and some of you have died because you have not dealt properly with the Eucharist. Does St. Paul really believe that? Does he really believe that this is why some of them are sick and some have died? You bet your darn right, you bet your boot that he does. He believes that there are consequences to these kinds of things. So again, it's an encouragement for us to make sure that we're ready. You know, I get some flack every now and then when I announce to people who should and who shouldn't be coming forward for communion. Some people don't like when I do this. They think it's inhospitable. But the only way that you can think that what I'm doing is not a good thing is if you don't believe what St. Paul is saying. If you really believe what St. Paul says, that people who are receiving wrongly are doing greater harm to themselves, then to just willy-nilly say, well, everybody come up for communion, it doesn't really matter. Is that the charitable thing to do? To encourage people to do things that are going to be harmful to them? Or is it the charitable thing to tell people, wait, you can come up to receive, but when you're ready to receive. So we want to reflect on these things that the scriptures tell us. And by the way, these warnings are given to us again and again. The very earliest document we have describing the worship of the early Christians is from St. Justin Martyr. And he gives the very same warnings, talking about people who, you know, that you need to believe and you need to be at rights with God. He gives some other things as well. But this has been the constant teaching of the church all the way from the earliest time, because it's the teaching of the Bible. So we want to make sure that we come up to receive well, so that the words of Jesus will apply to us, that he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day.